You're being dissed. But you choose to ignore it and you actually empower it. Why? When there's another way. Just walk away and don't go to the store. The kids are like, shoot, Pastor Luann, I thought you were my friend. Another interesting thing that kids can learn from their parents is how to lie. Here's an example. Dialing the phone, well, probably push button. You call the boss. I'm sick today, I can't come in. And then you're packing up the car and you're going to the lake. And the kids learn how to do it. They learn how to lie. And then we wonder, why is that kid lying to me? Here's another one. If a daughter or a son hears the mom speaking poorly of the father, you know, he's this and he's that, and he never does this and he never does that, and you know what? He just disappoints me. He's just... Then the daughter looks at the dad through those eyes, and then one day when her husband comes into her life, that gets repeated. Same with the dad. If the dad isn't lifting up the mom, if he's kind of mocking her or not really paying attention to her when she talks or just ignoring her, then the son grows up thinking that's the way that behavior is. We've got to teach our children the number one thing in life that matters. The number one thing that matters is to be in love with God. And to be in love with God is to obey God. To be madly in love with God. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, so they will be filled. Now, there's a lot of people driving a fancy car, and they're not filled. There's a lot of people in big, amazing houses. I used to teach piano in them, and they weren't filled. There's a lot of people that have the material things they want, but with it has come tremendous pain. There's many people that reached their goal, but lost everything that mattered. God even promises something that if we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. See, God fills us up. So our kids need to see that he is what satisfies us. They need to see that whatever we have right now, we're grateful for. We're content for, because if God can't see us happy with that, why should he trust us with more? See, God is waiting for us to be satisfied with the presence of the Lord. Let me give you an example. Cedric used to leave and travel, and he would always bring something special. But I always was more happy to have him back than the thing he brought me. And that's the way God wants us to feel about him. God, you fill me up. It's your presence that I love. It's your presence that makes me have joy. Our kids are looking to see if we consistently, hungrily go to church. We cannot wait to receive the message. Do we attend a Bible study? See, our kids are looking to see, do we have a teachable heart? Or do we think we've arrived? Because if we've arrived, then we are projecting pride. And it will project pride onto our kids. Amen? Do you tithe? Because we don't want to teach our children to rob God.
Tithe means 10% to the storehouse. Offering is above and beyond. The Bible says that if you don't give the full 10%, you are a thief. And God's window of heaven is waiting to open, but he won't open his window for a thief. Would you? Would you? But we want to teach our children to give that full 10% so that their crops won't be devoured. And when they see that our crops are protected and that God's always taking care of us, then they learn to trust. Do you serve or do you say, I'm too busy? Because what you're telling your children is, my life's upside down. Everything else matters more than just passing a bulletin. Just showing up to help. See, we want to teach them to be servants. We want to teach them to be teachable. And more than that, we want to teach them to be satisfied with the glorious presence of God. Most kids misbehave because we expect them to. We'll say something like, remember, no fighting when we go to the store. And what that tells them is, I know you're going to fight. I know, I expect you to misbehave. But we really don't want that, right? So why not say, I know you're going to do great in the grocery store because I know you have self-control. I know that you are a wonderful, wonderful person, and I know that you love your brother and your sister. In fact, I have something waiting at home for every child that behaves. Amen? See, true love expects the best. True love hopes and endures and believes all things. There's something I've been trying to put into practice, and yesterday I had to call somebody and apologize because I heard the same old tape playing and coming out of my mouth. But God is teaching me to pray and then say. See, last night we were passing out invitations. Now, can you imagine how crazy I would be if I was passing out an invitation and then after they took it and walked away, say, they won't come? See, you can't build and tear down and get anywhere. So I am practicing and getting better at remembering to say what I just prayed. Lord, my children love and treasure you. Lord, my husband is wise. He's the king and priest of our home. Lord, you will supply the needs for us as a family and as a church. God, you're holy. You're the healer. You're amazing. Then I hang up the phone with God, and if what I just said to him isn't what comes out of my mouth the rest of the day, then I'm undoing what I just prayed. So I've been asking God. I've been saying, pray, say. Can you say that with me? Pray, say. Okay. Another thing is if you grew up in a home that instilled, made you frightened, if you grew up in a home where you had what we call a helicopter parents hovering, brrr, no, don't touch that, you'll hurt yourself, don't jump off that, don't do this, don't do that, don't go, then what we do is we cause our children to have anxiety. And God is pleased by faith. So we have tried our best to encourage our children to go for it and to not be afraid of a mistake. Now, we don't empower them to rebel or to do something that God doesn't love to do. But we also want to give them the freedom, because how many of you have learned from your mistakes? How many of you have learned from difficult times? So I have tried to be a mom that goes for it myself and tries to get the kids to go for it. Because I don't want them to not reach their full potential just because I was worried. If you grew up in a home where there was violence and yelling, it's easy to carry that over. If you grew up in a home where there was criticism, no matter how much you hated it, it could carry over, right? If you grew up in a worrywart home, it can carry over. If you grew up in a home where the silent treatment happened, the stonewalling happened, it can carry over. But God is telling us, push the pause button. Think for a second. How do we want this to play out? We can stop. And we can pray. We can slow ourselves down, right? And we can begin to ask the Lord, how do you want this to go? Lord, is there a better way? Lord, is what I say to my children, do I carry it through? Am I doing what I'm asking them to do? So I've been getting on my knees and I've been asking myself some questions. Why is my child, he or she, doing what he or she is doing? That's a good question, right? The second question, how do I feel about that as a parent? And what is my part in that behavior? The third question is, and this is about picking your battles. Is it a mountain or is it a molehill? So I'm going to give you some stories, and you can shout out if you think it's a mountain or if it's a molehill. Here's the first one. Randy is 17 years old. He's got baggy pants. He's got an earring. He's got shaggy hair. But he always helps his mom and his grandma with the groceries. He makes A's and B's in school, and he plays his guitar in church. Is it a mountain or a molehill? That's a molehill, right? Not a mohawk, it's a molehill. Sam is 13. He's quiet. He spends a lot of time in his room reading. But lately, his grades have taken a nosedive, and he's turned sour inside. There's something dark going on. Is it a mountain or a molehill? That's a mountain. Jennifer is 3. And by the way, I got these scenarios out of a book called Have a New Kid by Friday. Christian author, it's amazing. So Jennifer's 3 years old. Her parents are wondering, how on earth is she going to survive when all she eats is Cheerios and chicken? But she's happy and chubby and just loving to play. Is it a mountain or a molehill? That's a molehill. All right, here's our last one. Mandy is 3. Her parents got divorced last year. She began spending weekdays with her mom and weekends with her dad. Now, when she comes home from her dad's house, she mouths off and cusses her mom out. She goes into the room and she slams the door, screaming, "I hate you." Is that a mountain or is that a molehill? That's a mountain. Now, whether it's a mountain or a molehill, God calls us to pray. If we know that our kid is going to get a better job, if they don't wear the baggy pants and they don't have the shaggy hair and they take the earring out, we can begin to pray. And we begin to pray and to begin to share in a loving way and guide them towards that. But if it's a mountain, there's probably going to have to be a come to Jesus meeting. There's going to have to be prayer and a confrontation and a change in the way things are going and a very deep introspection with the parent about how it got here, right? So we've talked about attitude and we've talked about behavior. And I know that there was one thing in the book I never thought about before. And I've thought about it over and over and over again. Because my husband is shy and I'm outgoing. They talk about the shy child. Now, he's not a child. And they talk about how a shy child can be as manipulative as an in-your-face, yelling at you, going off on you child. Because a shy person can use shy to be rebellious and manipulative and to control what the family does. So if, let's say there's a scenario of you're at the park with your little four-year-old girl, and you said on your way to the park, I'm going to read the newspaper, and little Susie, you are going to learn to go play with the kids in the sandbox. Well, the kids are there, your bench is right next to the sandbox, and she says, I want you to play with me and the kids because I'm shy. You're not teaching Susie to push through. You're not teaching Susie to overcome a problem in her life. You have to say to little Susie, we were here for you to learn how to go introduce yourself to children. I'm right here. But if you don't want to do that, we can go home and you can play by yourself and I'll read the newspaper here. Well, next thing you know, little Susie's jumped in the sandbox, and in her quiet nature that God gave her, she's learned how to interact. And you've taught your child how to push through. Amen? Amen? I have stood in awe of one of the shyest people I've ever met, that when God called him to be a pastor, I watched him break through that and rise up and be the man that God told him to be. And I think that that takes more effort than me standing here today, because it's sheer obedience. Can we give praise to the Lord? Now, character is the last thing we're going to talk about today, because it is what really counts. It's who you are when no one's looking. It's what you're thinking. It's what you're doing. It's what I'm doing when I'm all by myself. Character is who we are when only the Lord is looking. See, character is caught. Children catch it from their parents. You can say things like, I'm so glad that you helped that girl. You saw she needed help, and you were there for her. That was a great job. That's just natural. Conversely, you can say, I overheard what you said to your brother. It was unkind. You were being a bully. And we don't do that in this house. And right now, before you do anything else, you have to go apologize and make it right. That's teaching character. See, part of being a human being is realizing to just drop the perfectionist thing, because it's slavery. Trying to be a perfectionist, literally, you are a slave. And you'll never get anywhere. I'm not saying you don't go for excellence. But all you can do is the best at the moment that you can do. And if you make a mistake and you're not willing to apologize, that's a deep character flaw. So as a parent, when you mess up, as a pastor, when I mess up, the willingness to apologize is everything. See, God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble, and our perfectionism is dirty rags compared to his holiness. We can try our best to be the most perfect person in the world, and we will sin. And just facing that and not letting that trip us up is going to give us a great life. People who don't apologize are dangerous. They're dangerous. They're politicians. Character is little things like, do you care about being on time? I do. It's my number one struggle. So I just started with me. I'm a clutter person. I do too much. I do 2 hours worth of stuff in 1 hour. I'm working on it. Are you responsible? Are your children responsible? Do they have good phone manners? Can they look an adult in the eye and speak? Is your child kind? Do they stick up for others who are smaller and weaker? Does your child understand the word no? Because as a young child, if they don't understand the word no, they will push against every authority there is and push their way in, and God opposes that. Does your child use language that grandma loves? And here's a good question. Does grandma use language that the child can hear? These days, sometimes. Here are three simple strategies for success. Let reality be your child's teacher. Don't rescue your kids from their mistakes. But when they make the mistakes, don't rub their nose in it, right? Just let consequences take the course. Number two, learn to respond rather than react. If we respond to our medication, that's a positive thing, right? If we react to our medication, it's negative. So again, we stop and we ask the Lord, give me my speech. Because otherwise we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot and take on our kids' stress, right? Number three, this one will never change. This one is your ace in the hole. B doesn't happen until A happens. When you do your homework, we go get the ice cream. When you've unloaded the dishwasher, we go get the shoes. When you've swept the porch, then we go to the park. Because God is this way with us. He says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He says, if you give, it'll be given to you. He says, if you love, love will come back to you. He says, if you seek me first in my righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And I wrote down, my God is not dysfunctional. My God does not empower rebellion. My God does not empower mocking. My God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Amen? So if it's God's strategy with us, it needs to be our strategy in the home. So we've learned today the ABCs of relating to kids. Our attitude, our behavior, our character. How many of you just say, oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Right? And be honest with your friends, your kids, the people in your life. Be honest where you're weak. Tell them, I am working on this. I'm trying. Cedric and I have honest conversations with each other. I know you're right. You're right. It's hard to hear, but you're right. And I am asking God to change me. I'm asking him to change my attitude, my behavior, my character, because I know my kids are watching. Amen? I want to tell you that we grow up right now. We live in a very broken world right now. There's a lot of broken, hurting homes and people. But God, see, he's an eternal God of hope. He never runs out of hope. He never runs out of joy. He never runs out of love, and he never runs out of solutions because he is the solution. And no matter what you did in your past, no matter what crazy mistakes you made, right here, right now, there's hope. Right here, right now, there's answers. Amen? Right here, right now, I can pray for you and you can pray for me and we can start walking this path of not being dysfunctional. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to pray for you, and I know we've got to take the offering, but I want you to know I'm cheering for you. And today during the offering, we're going to sing a song that I wrote for Cameron, but today it's for our church. Because as long as you know the Lord loves you, he's not condemning you with anything you heard today, right? He's just informing you. There's a difference. Being informed and condemned are different. With information, wisdom brings power in our lives, right? Brings solutions. So don't sit here and beat yourself up or get mad at me or write me some email or something that's going to ruin my day. Just take the information and begin to implement it into your life. And be patient with yourself, because if you've done it, you know, I know there's nobody here over 40. So if you've done it for 40 years, it might take another 40 years to get it right. But just enjoy the process of implementing some of these things that we learned today. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's close our eyes because we're going to take the offering. And I also just want to be able to pray for you as parents. If any of you parents today just need encouragement, or grandparents today need encouragement, I just want you to slip your hand up because I'm going to pray for you. And I'm just excited for you. And Father God, right now, I just pray that the new tools and some of the things we've learned today, Father, would go on soft soil, that it wouldn't bounce off a hard heart, Lord, but that our hearts would open and that the seed would go in. And Father, that we as parents would be encouraged in our relationship with you, and that you would help us lead and guide our children in their attitudes, their behavior, and their character. And we thank you this day, Lord, for all the work that went into kids' camp to help instill these types of things in our children, and for the children that received salvation and received, God, an excitement about Jesus. It reset their hearts to be excited about Jesus. So bless them as well. Encourage your people. And Lord, as we give, may we remember that one of the reasons we're giving today, Father, is to provide food in God's house for our kids. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. And let's take our offering. Go ahead, Curtis.
I can hardly believe my eyes. You're standing here, my joy and pride. And I know I've got to let you go. You'll always be a part of me, but I know I've got to set you free. And I'll pray for you every day. Now sing this with me. I want you to know, wherever you go, my love will follow you. May the dreams in your heart blossom and come true. This could be the hardest thing I've had to do. Wherever you go, just know my love will follow you. Yeah. Once I held your tiny hand, now you've grown into a man. And I know your future is bright. There's so much I want to say, but my tears are in the way. And I can't get the words out right. I want you to know, wherever you go, my love will follow you. May the dreams in your heart just blossom and come true. This could be the hardest thing I had to do. Wherever you go, just know my love will follow you. Wherever you go, just know my love will follow you.